windows of the soul offer glimpses, however fleeting, and echoes, however faint, of some of the things that are just so dear to God. And at times we wonder, how many windows have we missed because we were too busy to look? And how much wisdom have we overlooked because we were too behind in our schedules to even see what was being offered to us? Psalm 46 reminds us to come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and he shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, and I love this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Solid rock, my firm foundation.
Recently, I read about a Sunday school class for three-year-olds. Their lesson for the day was the story of Jesus' visit to the home of Mary and Martha. Afterwards, the teacher asked, "What would you do if Jesus were coming to your house today?" And one little girl quickly replied, "I would tell my mommy and daddy they better clean the house quick." What do we see at the window in this intimate moment with Mary and Martha? Jesus is on the way to Jerusalem, on the way to his death, and he stops here at the home of these two women. So Mary and Martha open up their home to Jesus so that he has a place to stay. Mary and Martha are not public leaders in the church. They serve Jesus from behind the scenes, investing in him as he invests in others. Which of these hungers does Martha see when she greets him at the door? Does she see a window into what is going on inside him? A window into what he is thinking, feeling, needing? Or does she see just the leanness in his face and the angle of the sun telling her it's nearly time for dinner? This story is of two sisters, Martha and Mary. Martha is older, more aggressive, and although she is the main character here, she is not the hero. Mary is younger, more timid, and every time we see her, she is in the shadow of Martha, and she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. This passage teaches us that we must not just be preoccupied doing the right thing, but be preoccupied with the right person. You see, Martha is preoccupied with ministry, as we look at verses 38 to 40. Martha is no doubt a servant. She is busy serving. She even feels stressed by the demands of life. And she is angry that Mary, well, she's not helping her. You see, many people get burned out in ministry, but Mary is burned up in ministry. Not only is she angry with Mary for not helping her, but she has the audacity to rebuke the Lord, demanding that he tell Mary to help her. She is so preoccupied with serving that Jesus is only a means of helping her get what she wants. Jesus is not correcting her for serving. He is correcting her for misplaced devotion. If she was serving out of a love for God, then Mary would not have been an issue. Yet notice how Jesus responds to Martha. Even though she is angry and rebukes him, the Lord is gracious and gentle. He points to the source of her frustration. "You are anxious and troubled by many things." He is gently correcting her motivation in serving. And then we look at Mary. Mary's preoccupied with the Master in verse 41. Jesus praises Mary for being at his feet. Every time we see Mary, it is at the feet of Jesus. She is enjoying his presence, listening to his words, whereas Martha is preoccupied with serving Mary, whereas Mary is preoccupied with Jesus. Lingering in his presence, oblivious to what Martha is doing around her. Jesus says that Mary has chosen the good portion, or could even be translated better portion, which will not be taken from her. She chose not to let the busyness of life, the busyness of her schedule, or even someone else's schedule distract her from being with Jesus. She knew from experience that Jesus' words are spirit and that they are life. She knew from experience what the psalmist says in chapter 16, everything in this life God has given us to enjoy, but they become deceivingly distracting. Slowly and deceptively, they seek to distract us from God. So what is distracting you and I this morning? We must fight against everything that wants to distract us from positioning ourselves there at the Savior's feet, hearing his words of love and grace. And so, are we feasting at Martha's table, or are we feasting at Mary's table? Mary chose to be with Jesus that day over serving Jesus, because it is only in being with Jesus that we gain the resources to serve. Yet we cannot force or fabricate love, but we can place ourselves in the place to receive grace. We can place ourselves at his feet under the faucet of his love and grace and be replenished, be refreshed, be filled with his love and grace. We can place ourselves in the position to receive a greater revelation of his grace and mercy and love in our lives. You see, the point of this story for us is that Jesus is not looking for us to be slavishly devoted to duty, but joyfully devoted and dependent upon him. And out of this fullness, this overflow, comes life to serve and give to others. As we look through the window into the soul of Martha and Mary, what do we see of ourselves? We so often repeat Martha's mistake. We allow ourselves to get so focused and caught up on all the little things that could be done or need to be done that we miss spending time with Jesus. Jesus only had a few months left on earth, and Martha was going to miss him because she was worried about her dinner preparations. Martha was trying to serve Jesus. Her heart was in the right place, and what she was doing was gracious. It was generous. It was good. But Mary was focused on being in the presence of God. Martha was focused on giving presents to God. Mary's heart was full. Martha's schedule was full. Mary was content being in the presence of Jesus. Mary couldn't sit still long enough to enjoy his company. The Marthas of the world don't know how to sit still. Marys just need to be with God and his people. The problem is that of these two things Martha had access to, she didn't make the better choice. Like Martha, we have the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus, to spend time with him, to learn from him, to be near him. But instead, sometimes we spend it taking care of all these things that at that time may be less important tasks. Martha missed Jesus while she was doing the dishes. We miss him for even less significant things than that. There is only one thing that makes you and I look like Jesus. It's not an impressive list of accomplishments. It's not telling people what we do. It is spending time with him. And for some of us, the problem is not what we are doing. It is what we are not doing. So where is our devotion today? What are the distractions in our lives that God wants to remove? And then what am I, what are you going to do about it? The Moments with the Savior book shares there was no quieter center that Martha was working from, no solitude of heart, no still axis around which her activities resolved. That's why the wheels fell off her attitude. And that's why with some regularity they fall off yours and mine as well. That when my attitude or when our attitudes start to wobble, it's because we are distracted. That we don't realize how much we are distracted, though, until the axis starts grinding and heating up. I want to live in a way so that I don't lose sight of what's important or lose a sense of the sacredness of others. I don't know about you, I want to live in a way so I can see windows of the soul. I don't want to live in the kitchen of religious activity, distracted with all my preparations. I want to live at the Savior's feet, gazing into his eyes, listening to his words, and seeing as many windows as he'll show me. At his feet is where we learn to pause at those windows. It starts by loving him and longing to hear his voice. And what did Mary do? All she did was sit. But you know what, my friends? It is where she sat that made the difference in her life. Let's pray together. Dear Savior, when you knock on the door to my heart, what is it you are looking for? What is it you want? Is it not to come to dine with me and I with you? Is it not fellowship? And yet so often, where do you find me? At your feet? No. In the kitchen? How many times have I become distracted and left you there, sitting, waiting, longing? What is so important about my kitchen full of preparations that draws me away from you? How can they seem so trivial now and yet so urgent when I'm caught up in them? Forgive me, Lord, for being so much distracted by my preparations and so little attracted by your presence, for being so diligent in my service and so negligent in my devotion, for being so quick to my feet and so slow to yours. Help me to understand that it is in an intimate moment that you seek from me, not an elaborate meal. Guard my heart this day from the many distractions that vie for my attention, and help me to fix my eyes on you, not on my rank in the kingdom, as did the disciples, not on the finer points of theology, as did the scribes, not on the sins of others, as did the Pharisees, not on a place of worship, as did the woman at the well, not on a budget, as did Judas, but on you. Bring me out of the kitchen, Lord. Bid me to come to your feet, and there may I thrill to sit and adore thee, the Savior of my life. Amen. Thank you.